Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows to bring your vision to life, it's important to find the right color. That's why Mylowe's Rewards members get a free Valspar paint or exterior stain sample to test your look to confidently refresh your space. Offer valid in-store only 87 to 820. Limit 1 per customer while supplies last. Discount taken in time of purchase. See associate for details. Rewards program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Microcap News. It's Thursday, the 14th of July, 2025. Well, good GDP numbers. I've always said Rachel Reeves' growth policy is working. Okay, we'll get onto that in a bit. Do you know what? I saw a company out today it's you know, been highly promoted on Twitter called Energy Pathways, but they're going for this big mesh sort of, I think it's a gas hydrogen storage project. They've been knocked back by the government on getting a license for this, I think. The share price has dropped by about 40-odd percent. And I often keep saying about risk-reward plays, and I don't think many private investors get it. They see a big reward and they assume it's nailed on. It's not the case. When you see a big reward from a micro cap, nano cap, essentially nowhere near commercialization. Getting to commercialization is quite hard for companies in this space that are pre-revenue loss-making companies. So even though if they get commercialization, there may be 1,000% upside. The chance of them getting to commercialization, you know, to this commercialization stage is very slim. It's called risk reward. And I don't think people understand that. They think this big reward without the risk. Normally, the bigger the reward, the higher the risk. What does that mean? There's less chance of achieving the reward. And I'll give you an example. This is from my book. By the way, I think it's less than £16 on Amazon. And just by getting the book, you can get 25% off for life to the Share Pickers Investment Club. So it doesn't matter how many times the price goes up over the next few years, you still get the same price every year, 25% off. But anyway, so the Grand National, okay, it's probably the most famous horse race in the world, where on 30 horses race over 4.25 miles, jumping 16 fences, 14 of which they jump twice. Of course, it's hard to pick a winner, as there's so many horses, and the odds on each horse win is against the odds. The odds are the return you expect to get if the horse you bet on is successful. If you see a horse with odds of winning, say, 10 to 1, this means if you bet £1 on this horse and it won, you would win £10 plus your stake money, £1. This also suggests for every 10 times this horse ran in this particular race, it would be likely to only win it once. So this is a 10% chance of winning, or, looking at it from a different perspective, a 90% chance of losing. Now, over the last 40 years, the average odds of the winning horse in the Grand National was 20 to 1. But horses with odds of 100 to 1 have won it. So you might think, like an investor going through story stocks, pre-revenue stocks, you know, looking at the reward, why go for a 20 to 1 horse when I could win on a 100 to 1 horse? Now, you shouldn't go for the high risk-reward strategy because it's very unlikely to pay off. Here's the stats. In the last 40 years, only one horse with odds of 100 to 1 has won the race. So that's a 3% chance of winning. So 97% of the time, if you look at that, 3% chance of winning. It's like Jim Carrey in Dumb and Dumber. When he said, what's the chance of us going out together or getting married or something? And she went, ugh, a million to one chance. And he's thinking about it, looks a bit depressed, and he said, so there is a chance. So in the last 40 years, only one horse has won with odds of 100-1. That's a 3% chance of winning. So 97% of the time, you would lose money. Do you understand those stats? If you are backing one of these story stocks you believe will get to commercialization, it's highly unlikely. So you're better off reducing the reward, but also reducing the risk. Because you have more chance of winning, less chance of losing. So horses with the odds of less than 20 to 1 have won the race 28 times out of 40. This is a 70% chance. This means you only have a 30% chance of losing compared to a 97% chance if you'd backed 100 to 1 horse. Now, if you think you can make money backing horses that lose 97% of the time or companies that fail 97% of the time, I've got to have your strategy. It doesn't work. It's a false economy. So do not look at these nano caps thinking, oh, look, it's going to be at 2,000%. There's no chance of them getting to it. They're highly unlikely to ever achieve that reward. High risk, high reward. So this is essentially why, you know, back in 21, when interest rates started rising up and the market started rolling over, especially for pre-revenue loss-making stocks, remember we had the longest period of the lowest rates ever. It was a very abnormal market. It wasn't normal. So your story stocks would flourish because they had no problem with funding. In this environment, they do. We're probably never going back to that crazy time where central banks were buying bonds, keeping interest rates low. Interest rates were at 0.1% at one point. But most of the time, for what, 7 years maybe, at 0.25% the interest rates were. It's not like that anymore. You've got to find good businesses that are commercial and profitable. Those companies that have little balance sheet risk and they're generating real value, as in money, cash. So you may see for a 12-month target, say 40% or 30%, but the chances of getting that are quite high. Now, if you compound like 20, 30, 40% over many years, you'll do very, very well. Phenomenal return. If you do 40% a year, you're beating Warren Buffett. So step back, bring down the reward, bring down the risk, and I think you'll achieve, you know, a better return. That's all I'm saying. Don't go for the crazy jackpots because they don't often win, you know? Okay, let's look at the figures here. The UK economy grew at a faster rate than expected in the second quarter, despite a slowdown from the strong start of the year amid pressure from tax increases and Donald Trump's global trade war. Figures from the Office for National Statistics showed growth in gross domestic product, GDP, slowed to 0.3% in the 3 months to the end of June, down from a rate of 0.7% in the first quarter, although it did beat forecasts for a slowdown to 0.1%. So this forecast at 0.1% came in at 0.4%, 0.3%. The previous quarter was 0.4%. Growth in the second quarter was led by countries' dominant services sector expanding by 0.4%, with computer programming, health, and vehicle leasing driving activity. That's interesting, isn't it? Construction output rose by 1.2%, supported by large infrastructure projects. So there we are. Maybe Richard Reeves is you know, infrastructure growth policies come into play a bit there. Manufacturing grew by 0.3% after growth of 1.1% in the first quarter when companies had rushed to beat the introduction of Trump's tariffs. But here's the fly in the ointment for Reeves. First of all, do you believe these figures? I question how accurate they are. They seem to jump around a lot. The latest figures showed business investment fell by 4% in the second quarter. Now, of course, business investment is the precursor to growth. If companies are not investing, you know, new products, new plants, new software, people, all that stuff, then they're not going to grow. The economy's not going to grow. So these are numbers for quarter two. Quarter on quarter, minus 4%. It was predicted to come in at plus 0.1%, but minus 4%. Previous quarter, positive 3.9%. So it doesn't matter, it's down 7.9% business investment, quarter on quarter. Now, over the year, for Q2, business investment was 0.1%. Previously, 6.1%. To me, that's the worrying stat. I think GDP can be manipulated a little bit here and there because, of course, you have a rush for tariffs and all that stuff, and it sort of skews the figures. But business investment there, that is not good. Okay, let's look at some markets. Where are we? Markets. FTSE, 100, flat, 9167. FTSE, 250, flat, 21840. FTSE, small cap, down a tenth of 1%, 7171. FTSE, fledgling.
Small cap.
No, maybe I split them now. I'm going to try and do different voices, give it a bit of colour, audio-wise, you know. FTSE fledgling, it's down a quarter of 1%, 13,330. And the AMOL share. Well, it's up a tad, a fifth of 1%. We are in that range, though. 7.58, that's at. Brent crude. How crude? Brent crude oil, $55.98 a barrel. Gold, down tenths of 1%, $3,404 an ounce. And copper, it's down a quarter of 1%, and that's down to $9,890 a ton. Bitcoin again. Do you know what? It closed for the 24-hour period. Of course, Bitcoin never closes. The crypto crazies trade all night. We're trading all night with our red eyes. It did hit 123,000, all-time high. And that was up, 2.7%. It's come back 2% a day, and now it's up 120. But that suggests to me a breakout here. There was some talk about Trump signing an executive order. I don't know if I dreamt this or read it, about Americans can now add crypto assets to their 401ks, which, of course, is their tax-relief sort of retirement plans. But it rallied up, come back down. But even at this level where we are now, that's still a high close, apart from yesterday, of course. But it's still higher than the previous close, which was back in July. So that seems quite bullish to me. So yesterday, Dow Jones up 1%, 44,092. NASDAQ up a tenth of 1%. So that was the strongest gain at Dow Jones yesterday. NASDAQ up 0.14%, 21,713. And the S&P 500 up a third of 1%, 6,466. In fact, I lie. The Russell 2000 was the biggest gainer in America yesterday, indices. Russell 2000 is a small cap indices. That was up 2%. It was 2,328. Not back at its all-time high. In fact, the all-time high here for that was November 24th, pretty much, and back in the 2021. So maybe it's a read across. They're saying, you know, we are having more talk now of interest rates coming down, and it does, you know, benefit the small caps more. So, in fact, I did say on the webinar last night, sharepickers.com, that you find interest rates coming down overly benefit small micro cap stocks. So we haven't seen nothing yet. I mean, you know, I've good performances here so far for my my companies I hold in the micro cap league. In fact, the micro cap league is outperforming all indices, UK, US, and all professional fund managers, especially the micro cap small cap fund managers, outperform them all by double digits. So it just shows, if you want 30 good investment ideas based on fundamentals, not story stocks, like I mentioned earlier, but, you know, numbers, not narrative. It's easy for people to go on Twitter or bulletin boards, this is going to be massive. Look how much gas or thing they store. Oh, it's one of the biggest in Europe. But the chance of them getting there is very, 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 very slim. You're backing 100 to 1 horse. The chances of that coming in, 3%. I mean, people see that. Flip it the other way around. 97% chance of failure. I often see that with oil and gas drills, you know. The chance of success is 30%. That's not good. So two out of three times, and they show that as a positive. It's a lot less than that, mostly. So you imagine if I jump from one building to another building to save your life, right? And someone said, what? Well, every two times you jump this, you're going to die. Or even if it's 3%, every 97 times you jump across this building, you're going to die. Would you go for it, go somewhere else? I shouldn't have said it's going to save your life. If you know, someone says, jump across that building there for a laugh. And so the odds of you surviving that are 3%. Would you do it 97 times out of 100? You jump across there, you die. Three times, you live. It's not good odds. Okay, you may get a thrill from it. In fact, that's a good analogy. You may get a thrill from it, but you know what? It ain't worth it. If you want a long-term, sustainable, more steady rises, then you've got to go for, you know, profitable companies that are growing, that are good value. Full stop. Okay, let's look at some microcap news. Now, the companies I mentioned here are not all profitable. They are all commercial, as in they are generating revenue. And if they tick all the right boxes, if they are profitable, then they're eligible for the microcap league. Now, I've covered about close to 300 companies in the microcap database. You can see this at sharepickers.com. And about a third of them are eligible for the microcap league. But of that, say 100, only 30 are displayed. And they are the top scoring companies on 15 metrics. So already there's several quality filters built in. So only the creme de la creme feature in the top 30. And they've been outperforming, you know, like I said, indices and fund managers. So if you want 30 investment ideas in high growth, micro cap, small cap companies, just go to sharepickers.com, click on the about, and you can get 25% off. It's only going to last for summer, this sale for everyone. If you buy the book, you'll always get 25% off. But if you go to sharepickers.com, click on the about, you can get on the email list, and you can claim 25% off up until the end of August. That's it. So, in alphabetical order, let's go with C, cab payments. CABP is a ticker. Interim results for 6 months ended 30th of June. June! Do you remember that? Terry and June. June! I used to love that. What was the other one? Terry and June, and there was... Well, The Good Life, wasn't it? Another couple like that. Well, there was another one, wasn't it? All right. Anyway, what was that, early 80s? If you're not my age, you wouldn't remember that. But interim results. So let's scroll down. And what do they do, by the way, cab payments? They're a United Kingdom-based holding company for Crown Agents Bank, hence CAB. The company is engaged in the business-to-business cross-border payments and foreign exchange, specialising in hard-to-reach markets. In fact, they're now changing from that because they realise it's a bit volatile. It isn't really working out. So their market cap is 126 million. It's got a balance sheet, you know, like a bank, pretty much, which is hard to, a bit confusing. But so ignore the enterprise value. 126 million is the market cap at 50 pence. Comments here. H1 results. Revenue down 7% to 51.8 million. Profit for tax down 78% to 3 million versus 13.67. Cash down 433 million, sorry, down 26% to 433 million. Now, a lot of that cash is restricted or held at banks, so that's another thing. Free cash outflow, the outflow, this is, increased by 125% to 356 million. What? I don't understand that. How can you do that and not be bankrupt? This is what I'm saying with banks. I don't understand their balance sheets at all. And as I mentioned in the previous post here, I find currency effects, financial companies, style, balance sheets confusing. But on any metric, these results can't be described as an improvement on H1 2024. Although the company, very tricky here. Well, I suppose it's not tricky, but they use H2 2024 numbers as a comparable, which they show marginal improvement upon. So, yeah, you're picking your half here. If you actually did H1 of 2024, then the figures are as I read, but they're showing marginal gains on H2 2024. But they've changed their initial strategy of focusing on emerging markets to more developed markets, having secured a license to operate in a US representative office in New York in June. So they are in transition. Forecast 25, revenue up by 5% to 110 million, net profit down 8% to 13.1 at 50 pence per share. So forecast PE of 10 seems okay, but like I said, there's quite a bit of risk in these companies. 2026, forecast revenue up 15% to 126.7 million. Net profit up 74% to 22.8 million. At 50 pence a share, forecast PE 6, which seems very cheap if they achieve these numbers. However, you know, like I said, look, I'm not saying they're the same boat as Argentex, because it seems like that was run by people who had no idea about currency effects. How does that happen? How does the FCA regulated company, you know, have a board that seemingly have no experience in currency effects, which is what the business is about? Nevertheless, cap payments, I think, is worth monitoring for future news to see if they're on track to achieve these numbers, because it does seem cheap at the moment. But at the moment, they're not improving yet. They say they're bullish for the next H2, apparently. But who, you know, all companies say that, don't they? Unless it's in the numbers, I'm not interested. You can talk a good game, but just show us the game. Let's see how you play the game, yeah? Don't talk the game, play the game. Next, Calnex, CLX, designs, produces, and markets tests and measurement instrumentation and solutions for the telecommunications and cloud computing industries. So they are at 49 pence, a market cap of 42 million, enterprise value 31, so they've got about 10 million of cash, or close to 11 million cash, as of the 31st of March 25. So they did an AGM statement where the man stood up and said something like, full year 2026 performance will be in line with market expectations. They also state, though, the telecoms market has remained stable throughout the first few months of financial year 26, and the board expects telecoms activity levels to remain largely the same for the remainder of the year. So stable. It's not like it's growing or anything. However, due to them expanding into new markets, they suggest they are not reliant on a recovery in the telecoms market to deliver growth. I don't quite believe that, really. But forecasts do not suggest they have commercial traction in these new markets yet. So forecast 2026, revenue up 10% to 20.3 million, net profit of 600K versus a net loss of 337K at 49 pence, it's a PE of 71. So there's top line growth and a return to profitability, albeit a small number, but the valuation is questionable. There's no forecast beyond 2026 due to the unpredictability of when the telecoms markets will recover. But I thought they weren't reliant on that. On the positive side, they did report net cash of 10.9 million for the full year results, so they have a strong balance sheet to weather the telecom market turbulence. It's worth watching to see if they can revert to where they were in 2021, 22, 23, with the reported operating margins of 20% plus. So it's worth, on current metrics, it's there's nothing there really. But maybe worth watching, because like I said, they were a very good business, good margins. This is a bigger company than I normally look at. It was recently listed. MHA is a leading professional services provider of audit and assurance tax accountancy and advisory services based in the UK with an international presence. So at 140 a share, they are 379 million market cap with an enterprise value of 362. And they got 18 million of debt. 18.7 million of cash. 1.1 of debt, that's all. So they've got a decent amount of cash there. Strong balance sheet. There's no half-year results here. But let's scroll down to the comments. They've released their full-year results as a listed company, but these results are for the period before they were listed. So 2025 results, revenue up 46% to 224 million. Net profit up 48% to 83 million. Net cash down 32% to 17.6 million. This is due to acquisitions, though. And free cash flow up 48% to 71 million. Forecast is for revenue to be up 11%. This is for 26 to 249.5 million. Net profit down, ready for it, 73% to 22.4 million.
What?
Now, it has to be pointed out, this is due to the transition from a partnership to a PLC. This means a revision to MHA's partner remuneration model upon the IPO from a profit share to salaried employees. Therefore, it's more of an accounting treatment where the costs are moved further up the income statement. Salaries will be paid at the admin level as normal for salaried people rather than as partners' profit attributable to the owners of the company, because the owners now are shareholders and, of course, the partners now become salaried employees. So it's not a lot of change. The profit does go down. That's because it's shared across the group rather than, you know. At 140 pence per share, this would put one a PE of less than 17. That's 2026. Not particularly compelling, but growth in net profit with the current accounting system is expected to return in 2027. So for 2027, top line 10% up, 273 million. Net profit up 25% at 28.1 million. Also worth noting, 87% of their revenue is recurring. So good visibility. At 140 pence per share, this puts them on a PE of less than 14, a PEG ratio of 0.56. I think they're worth keeping an eye on. Not, you know, quite a bit bigger than I normally look at, but an interesting company nevertheless. So I think there may be an opportunity here. When the figures come in and they post comparables, it's going to look like it's down, but it's not. They've still got revenue growth. It's just due to the accounting treatment, you know, being a PLC rather than a partnership, the profits will drop by 73%. But it's still not that expensive at 14 and a peg of 0.56. So I think MHA is a ticker, okay, worth watching. It's a small cap. It's not a micro cap. Next, Skin Biotherapeutics, a life science company focused on skin health. The group's proprietary platform technology, Skin Biotics, is based upon discoveries made by translational dermatology team at the University of Manchester. So 15 pence, or 0.15, they have a market cap of 38 million, enterprise value 38.7. They did a trading update today, and they do state, in fact, let me scroll down. Revenues were slightly lower than market expectations due to timing of orders for Dermatonics and BTS, much of which occurred just after the year end. Much of which. Okay. Brokers had forecast revenue of 5.1 million and year end cash of 5.2. This has now been reduced to 4.6 from 5.1 and 4.8 of cash, rather than 5.2. So forecast of 25, revenue up by 280% to 4.6 million, net loss of 700K versus a net loss of 2.9. At 15 pence per share, puts them on a valuation of 8.4 times sales. It's not a PE, it's sales. That's rich. 2026 revenue up by 35% to 6.2 million, net profit of 200K versus 700K loss, puts them on a PE of 194. Seems very rich. 2027, revenue up 32% to 8.2 million. Net profit of 700K versus 200K at 15 pence. Puts them on a PE of 55. Now, they have top-line growth, but profit is still insignificant, so this is not good value. The reason why it's highly valued, I suspect, is their deal with Croda, which is a multinational. The broker suggests it's hard to value this deal due to the confidentiality of the agreement, but investors seem to believe it would be very significant. Even so, I can't help classifying this as a hope high potential stock based around the potential of its deal with Croda. History usually shows in regards to stocks, the hype hardly ever lives up to the reality. So be careful in believing the narrative, only believe the numbers. This company has a high valuation, and this is a risk, as it means a lot of potential has already been priced in. In fact, probably too much potential is probably priced in. Yeah, so I'd say, it's a story stock, essentially. But nevertheless, it's getting towards profitability. And finally, Trufin. Knocks out of the park again. My stop loss I had in this kicked in when Lloyd's cancelled a contract with Satago at the time. It was going to be quite significant, but you realise PlayStack, which is unpredictable really, games, they've been knocking it out of the park again. A holding company with Oxygen Finance, PlayStack and Satago. So my cap, where are we? At a pound, they are 102 million. That's where they are today. They've risen quite nicely, I think, today. Put it this way, at a pound a share, 102 million market cap, enterprise value 91. So they've got cash of 14.8 million they did and debt of 4.1. This is the last set of results, the 31st 12, 2024. So the trading update. Trufin has released a trading update stating it expects to materially exceed market expectations for the full year. That's what you want to hear as a shareholder. Yes! Now, this is entirely, I think, down to PlayStack, as in the trading update, Oxygen and Satago were not mentioned at all. So I'm assuming, in fact, the broker said, I assume they're in line with expectations, those two, because they haven't said otherwise, that they may have to say that they weren't performing. So they may be in line, hopefully, but it's PlayStack that's knocking the ball out of the park. It's killing the aliens, whatever, in games format, you know. There's a Pac-Man eating the special pills. Brokers have upgraded the numbers for 2025, so forecast 25. Revenue flat at 55 million, net profit up 12% to 4.1. And a pound a share puts them on a forecast P of 25, of course, it's more than that now, in fact. Yes, the market cap now is 119 million, enterprise value 108. So those forecasts there puts them on a PE of 29 now. To me, this seems fairly priced, especially if 2026 forecasts are to be believed and hit, because 26 shows revenue flat again, but net profit down. So, you know, at least net profit for 25 will be up to 4.1 million. Now, the net profit for 26 is expected to be down 7% to 3.8 million. So what's the forecast PE there? Yeah, 31 times. Be wary about investing in a company, you know, at 31 times, especially if it doesn't have growth going forward, so it becomes effectively more expensive. Of course, hold your horses. If PlayStack continues to outperform and Trufin releases another trading update that materially exceeds market expectations, which will result in more growth, then a PE this high could be justified. All I'm saying is, if there's no growth there, it's maybe a bit too high. If you're a holder, I would say continue to hold. As I wrote this before market open. I would expect the SP to rise due to the upgrade, but this would make it more expensive and probably not the best entry point for new investors. But for holders, go with the momentum, okay? And I hope we've done well on this. But there we are. So it's not cheap, but fair play. They've had how many? Since 2024, 13th of the 12th, had one significant ahead of expectations. 18th of November, significantly ahead of expectations. 5th of December, significantly ahead. And 20th of May, materially ahead. And 14th now, today, materially ahead of again. So they've upgraded nonstop. It's on a roll, PlaySack, and who's to say it won't go further, you know? They could keep producing winners. Who knows? Mortal Shell's coming out. But like I said, just based on... I mean, you have to make a value judgment on valuations, pretty much. And just at where it is the moment with forecast figures, it's not cheap, you know? Maybe it doesn't deserve to be cheap. And like I said, they could get upgraded. But I'm saying as an entry point, you probably wait for a little pullback or something, you know, that's what I'm saying. But they've done very well. Well done to James and the team there, Trufin, and holders as well. That's it. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, sharepickers.com, click about if you want to get 25% off. It's only lasting until the end of this month. If you buy the book, you get 25% off for life. But just to join the email list, you get 25% off. And that's the price, less than the price of a latte a week, £2.87. Less than the price of a battered jumbo sausage from the chippy. Less than half a pint of beer across the UK on average. And less than what most people spend on chocolate in a week. Half of what most people spend on chocolate in a week. I don't think I spend anything on chocolate. Maybe as a household, that's different because I don't do the shopping. I don't spend anything on anything. My wife reminds me, do you actually do anything in this house? What do you do? I do everything. Yes, you do. That's why I love you. Thanks so much for listening. And speak you tomorrow. Machos. Apreciatos.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.